Well, we serve a slice of the pie, and what we serve are families that are homeless. So families who have children under the age of 18. So in our area, we have a rather large service area. We serve CCISD, of course, is the biggest. We have Pearland, Friendswood, Alvin, and Dickinson as well. So we serve five school districts, and there are over 2,000 homeless children in this area.
Hey, y'all, welcome back to the Because Adulting is Hard podcast. I'm Alita, and this is Gail Nelson, and she is with Family Promise of Clear Creek. And we're going to talk about an interesting topic today. We're going to really start out with general homelessness, and then we're going to talk about what your really awesome organization does, because it's actually a nationwide organization, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so talk to me a little bit about your role in this organization, the organization itself, and then we're going to go into general homelessness.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. Well, I'm Gail Nelson with Family Promise of Clear Creek. I'm the executive director, and I run the program. And we are one of over 200 affiliates across the U.S., and we're the fourth one in the Houston Gulf Coast area.
And as we're talking about this program right before we got on air, some of the things that they're doing, y'all, are groundbreaking because it is so hands-on right here in your own community. So let's talk about, so this is a nationwide program, but really you focus in small communities, correct? Like you have to make a base in a community because you're involved with a whole wide variety of churches, correct?
Right. We have churches from Episcopal, Lutheran. We have a mosque helping out. We have the Unitarians helping out. It's a true interfaith mission.
And that's really cool. So let's first talk about the statistics of homelessness.
Well, we serve a slice of the pie, and what we serve are families that are homeless. So families who have children under the age of 18. So in our area, we have a rather large service area. We serve CCISD, of course, is the biggest. We have Pearland, Friendswood, Alvin, and Dickinson as well. So we serve five school districts, and there are over 2,000 homeless children in this area.
That are going to school on a regular basis that you might not even know are homeless, correct?
And sometimes not going to school on a regular basis.
Correct. Sometimes they're if we're being honest, sometimes they're living in their car. Sometimes they're living with friends, neighbors, whoever it was. So your program, so a little bit different than other programs because y'all do a start to finish program. This is not, or not finish, but a start to almost a new door opening for them, correct?
Absolutely. We are a holistic solution that is going to help end family homelessness.
So let's talk about how that works. How does somebody apply for your program? What is the church's role in that? Because you were just telling me it's actually a really, really neat rotation process. It takes a lot of planning and a lot of volunteers. Yeah. But what I like about it is it's not a quick solution. It is a long-term investment in families because you said it at one point, y'all have a 100% success rate of families that leave your program, correct?
Absolutely.
Across the nation. So let's talk about that. So when a family comes to you, how do they come to you?
Well, they usually find us from other referral partners.
Okay.
Or on the internet. We've got a lot of people finding us on the internet. We've got a website and everything. And all it starts with a telephone call.
Okay.
So we have a three-step process to get into our program. First, call us. We'll do a telephone screening. And pretty much we just learn at that telephone screening we ask questions to see if we have the resources to help.
Okay.
If we think we do, we'll bring the entire family in for an intake interview.
Okay.
And then we'll spend a lot more time kind of delving into what are their particular needs. And then we determine, okay, are they a good fit for the other families that are in the program? Are they willing to work our program?
You know? So when I used to work residential treatment, that's a thing. I mean, because when you have a program already running, you have to have people. I mean, you can, I hate to be that way, but you can drag a horse to water and shove their head in. But if they're not willing to work the program, just like in any AA or any, however you end up in a trying situation, you've got to be the right fit for this program.
Right.
And you've got to be willing to do the work.
Absolutely.
So a family makes it through that process, whether they're referred to by a school person, whether they find you on the internet, whatever it is. I mean, in the days and times of COVID, people that didn't think they would ever be homeless, or all of a sudden find themselves homeless because they went without a job for 2 or 3 months.
Absolutely.
So what is the first step after they've been accepted to the program? What does that look like?
It's different for every family.
Okay.
Because the last thing they have to give up before entering our program, walking through those doors and getting the keys to their new storage area, is they have to give up their pride. And that's a big thing.
It's huge, right?
I mean, it is huge. But we are all about building them up. They are worthy for this. We want to help them get back on their feet, and we will stand with them, handing them the resources. They do the work. We give them the tools. And at the end of it, it is like, you know, you have a caterpillar turn into a butterfly, and it's exactly that process, and we get to see it from start to finish.
So they come in and you'll get them a storage unit for their things if they have things?
Yes.
Okay, so that's step number one. Mm-hmm. And then explain to me how this, and we were actually talking about this, is really cool that you have 13 churches, correct?
We partner with 17 churches, 17. But 13 of them host our families 1 week every quarter. So this week they're in Friendswood Friends
okay.
Church, right here in Friendswood. And the church coordinators there are fantastic. Desiree and Beth are just awesome. And they make the families feel so welcome, and they are so happy to have them there. And they it's hospitality overload. They spend the night there. They go have hot meals, activities, and spend the night at the church.
So the church is almost committing to, I called it a mission trip coming to your church, local mission trip. You're looking at families that are, and we talked about, it may seem transient that they're moving from week to week, but the things that those churches are providing, I mean, it's 300 hours worth of work, over 300 hours worth of work in a week to provide meals and activity and prayers, because that's part of this process, correct?
Absolutely.
So while they're working, sometimes they're on week one, sometimes they've been there for 2 months, sometimes they've been there for 3 months. What are the things that they're doing on a daily basis?
If they are not working, their job is to find a job.
Okay.
Okay. So we have financial literacy skills, employment skills. We have parenting classes they go to. They're doing counseling, one-on-one counseling, because they have dealt with a lot of trauma leading up to them being homeless. And then homeless, they've dealt with 3 traumas in one.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you see it coming that you're going to be evicted, right? You see the train coming.
Correct, for sure.
Okay. And then that's one trauma. And how are you going to deal with that? And then the second trauma is it actually happens.
Correct.
And you're in the accident.
You're now in reality. Yeah. Okay.
And then the third is picking up the pieces. Where do you go? What do you do?
And they're simple things. I think that you talked with my husband about this. One of the things that I love about Kids Harbor is, as a person that's personally grown up and lived in a foster care facility, is one of the things is to watch children leave with things in a trash bag. There's nothing that makes you feel more unsettled than not even having a belonging to put your things into. So like at Kids Harbor, that's one of the things they pride themselves on, is that every child leaves with a bag that it belongs to them, because sometimes this isn't the first and only time that kids are going to be homeless, you know, in a program like Kids Harbor. With y'all's, because you're transitioning them through the whole process, what you're doing is you're investing in families. Yes. You're investing in families to make sure that they're successful.
Absolutely.
So we get the kids. So after they've been there, they get a job and they get those things, what happened? What is the next steps? Like how do they come out of the program? How do we get them back into housing?
Okay, so there's 6 things that you have to do in order to graduate.
Okay.
Okay, and not everyone graduates our program, but really, I think the cusp is like 120 to 150 days.
Oh, wow.
When they're in a little over 120 days, they are really rock solid. Okay.
Okay.
So they have 2 months worth of living expenses saved. While they're in the program, they can't spend any money.
Okay.
Once they start earning money, they can spend 20% of it on whatever they want. I don't care. And then they have to have that. They've got to have reliable transportation. They have to have a job, a secure job, and not just any job. It needs to be a good, you know, in this area, they've got to make at least $12 an hour.
At least. Yeah. I mean, you can't live. I mean, unfortunately, especially with children, you just can't live on $8 an hour and
That's
get
right.
an apartment.
That's right.
I mean, or mobile home or anything like that. So they have to have a job. They have to do that.
And they have to have transportation.
Okay.
So we have a Ride to Success program that I'm thrilled about, because people in our community, if they've got a vehicle that they're not using, they donate it to us. Mm-hmm. And when we in turn loan it to the guest families, and when they're ready to graduate, if they still haven't worked out transportation, we'll sell that vehicle to them. If we have an extra one to mm-hmm. do this with, we'll sell that vehicle to them at half the cost. So those funds, so imagine having a $75 a month car note.
I mean, you're fundamentally, because this is what the thing that people don't understand about homelessness is, just because you get a job doesn't mean you're not homeless anymore. You still don't have somewhere to wash your clothes. You don't have right. some way to get to work consistently. Right. You don't. So though all of those things lead up to long-term success. And not only to mention that, the witnessing that you're doing along the way from these church families, and that you're, some of it is a mental state. I mean, yes. life is hard.
Yeah.
Life is hard.
Adulting is hard.
Adulting is hard. We talk about that yeah. all the time. And you end up in really uncertain circumstances. And when you have children, it can just be
exacerbated.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because now you're responsible for little beings as well. So y'all are about to do a fundraiser, correct? Actually, it's going to be live while we're seeing this video. So we're going to talk about it. So tell me what's happening this week.
So normally we have an in-person fundraiser, right? And we'll go to a venue, and we'll have 200 people there, and we'll have a live and silent auction, and people will talk about the program. We're doing all of that virtually this
okay.
year. And we're doing it over 3 days, the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. And this year we added something new to it. We've added our Shining Star Award.
Okay.
So we are looking to honor a congregation, an individual, and a community member with the Shining Star Award this year for the first time. So we're going to unveil that on the 24th.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I really am kind of enamored by this program, because I'm going to tell them what we were talking about before this, because I know a lot about going on mission trips and yeah. planning mission trips, but this is something that's very local, y'all. This is something that you can do as a community, especially as people are worried about traveling with COVID and yeah. all of these things. This is ways that church and people can continue to serve, but you're serving local families in our 5 connecting school districts. So how can y'all use volunteers?
Oh, in a variety of ways.
Okay.
Right now we have a big need for childcare, because our family hasn't started work yet, so they don't get any subsidies on childcare. So we're having to pitch in. We're getting some of the younger volunteers to come in and pitch in. We've done a fundraiser to help them pay for some outside childcare. So we're doing that. We have what other things? Oh my goodness, there's a whole host of ways people can get involved with our organization. Transportation is a big one.
Okay.
Not all of the families that come to us have driver's license, which right now during COVID is a horrific problem, because it's going to mean that we would have to try to find transportation 7 days a week, 30 days a month, for however long they're in the program until they can get their license, right?
Okay. Right.
That's a lot of
that is a
logistics
lot.
To work out. So we need people.
So does the churches usually provide that? Do they during this?
We reach out to our volunteer base.
Okay.
And we said, okay, I put it out. I do a Friday update to our church coordinators and our board and our advisory committee every week and say, okay, here's our needs this week. This is what we need. Do we need toiletries? Yes. Well, we've got groups that do that for us. So we're really good on that. Cleaning supplies, cleaning products. Some people do drives. There was a two young girls who were juniors, and they decided over the summer that they were going to do a bake sale, and with the proceeds of that sale, they were going to buy things for first responders. So they took us under their wing, and they would bring bottled water to us, snacks for the kids, individually wrapped snacks and stuff like that. So they, you know, that took care of some snack items and things for our guest families while they're at our day center.
Yeah. Gail, I'm impressed by this program. I see a lot of organizations and I see a lot of different nonprofits, but what I like about this one is it's on the front lines.
Yes.
You're impacting lives on the front lines. So I am so grateful that you took the time to come on here, and I would love to continue to talk about as we go on, you know, other opportunities for people to volunteer and do things like that. And we will connect on this podcast, everybody to you. So that if you have a church or you have other ways that you're looking to volunteer, we can get people in contact with you because that's the easiest way to do that. We often have times kids looking for service projects, things that and things like that. So, are there any other thoughts you have?
You know, I love the volunteers and I love the people in our community because they're helping to strengthen families in our community and getting them back to being part of the community. And our churches are really doing that. And I just love the resiliency that we're seeing in the families today that are coming to us. It's amazing. And it is, I think it's God's handiwork.
And you're changing the trajectory of those children because what we know about poverty is that the longer you stay in poverty, the more likely you are to continue into the cycle of poverty because you just don't know any different and you don't have any resources to do anything different. And I like that this organization sees that and also, you know, is following what God has planned for us to do and really going in on the ground and taking care of families that are in need. So if you know anybody that is homeless or there's a lot of teachers that follow us on here, this is a great connection for your counselors. I'm not going to say they can take y'all can take everybody because you can't. But of course, the stronger the program becomes, the more families you can help. Right. So I appreciate you so much, Gail, coming on. And this is a following after my own heart because this is just a pure service mission and you're actually impacting local families for a lifetime. And so I appreciate you, Gail, and I'm so grateful that you came on. And so remember to live happier because adulting is hard. And if you want to volunteer, let's get in contact with Gail. Thanks, y'all.
Thanks for having us here.